this world affords today.
Brother Matt, God bless you. We were here on Wednesday night, and the guys got together about 6 o'clock, and we were practicing. And we had a good practice trying to get ready for the concert on Friday night, and Bob made the effort to come in. Now, Bob is sitting back here and with Sharon, and what a joy it is to see people that God, the hand of God has touched, and see him back in God's house. Right behind him, you know, I look back, I see Herbie, I see Janet back there, and the comments that Herbie had last week just brought a tear to my eye. I'm glad I wasn't preaching last week. He would have messed up the whole service. He would have done it. I know he did. Right back there, Bobby and Hattie, they came in this morning, and Bobby's been through an awful lot, and he did his toe touches, and the thing that I loved is when, even this morning, when the choir was going over that song, Where You're There, I saw words being spoken back there. I saw Hattie, she was singing right along. I saw Sharon back there, she was singing right along. When you sing those songs, it brings joy to your heart. When you hear a message like, I'd rather have Jesus than anything, it brings joy unto your heart. The way we start a service is important. You got to set the tone. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, it's your attitude that you have within your heart when you come to church that makes a big difference. Some of you can pull it off. You can come to church in the car, open those doors, blessed be God, good to be here. I do not have that ability. I do not. If I'm mad out there, most likely I'm going to walk in, I'm going to be mad in here. But I think that it's crucial. I think it's so important that we look to God to set the tone when we come to worship him. I believe in the time that we take to lift our hands to say, Heavenly Father, I want to make a praise unto you for what you've done. Heavenly Father, I want to lift up some individual that I know that has a need, because I believe that you will keep your promise and meet that need. I believe as we turn our hearts to God, as we allow our spirit to mirror with God's spirit, his Holy Spirit living within us to lead us, guide us, direct us, it will simply set the tone that you want when you come into God's house. I believe in laughter. I believe in joy. I believe that I have a joy within me. As they say that the old world didn't put it in there and the old world can't take it away. You remember that little chorus? Oh, I used to love that stuff. They can't take it away because it is not grounded in the things that happened to me. It is grounded in my faith in what I know that he has done for me. That's where my joy in God lies. And I like seeing y'all. I like walking in, seeing people who seem like they enjoy to see each other. Either you do enjoy seeing and chatting with each other, or you live the most isolated, boring lives of any people that I have ever known in my life. Because each one of you, when you come in and you are greeted with handshakes, smiles, hugs, you seem like kids in the candy store. And that's the way you ought to feel when you come to church. I go to places where it is not like that. I have tasks laid upon me at my job, in my life, things that I must do where I am not treated like that, and I simply don't look that much forward to it. But I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy getting away from those burdens of the week. I enjoy putting all those things that have weighed upon me, all those things that I have to deal with, and simply being in God's house and enjoying something from on high. I don't believe that it's just a social get-together. I believe that we are led by the Spirit of God to be here this morning. And I think that each and every one of you that are here today have something to receive from God. With that being said, those of you that look at your bulletin so closely, follow them so, you will notice that the scripture that I'm going to read is not the one exactly in that bulletin. Boy, I love sermons when you start with a disclaimer. That's the thing I like. I am in that book of Matthew's. I am reading in the 10th chapter. Instead of that 14th verse, which is a wonderful verse, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, I'm actually going to drop down to the 23rd verse. And to make it even more pleasurable for your hearing, I'm actually going to go down and get my notes. Because there's one little part in this notes that I wrote down that I want to read to you. The 23rd verse in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, don't listen to what I say, know what I think. Hebrews, 10th chapter, 23rd verse. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised us is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, that's the New King James Version. I also wrote out that 23rd verse in the New Living Translation, and I want you to simply listen to what it says. I want you to simply sit back and listen to what it says. Without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. God can be trusted to keep his promise. Then I want you to hear this next sentence. Boy, think of ways to encourage one another to outburst of love and good deeds. I'm going to read that again. Think of ways to encourage one another to outburst of love and good deeds. If you want a formula for life and life more abundant, if you want to key in to allow things in your life to get better, to find more joy, to find more fulfillment, to find more purpose in why you are here, think of ways to encourage one another to outburst of love and good deeds. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Works. We know from the book of James that faith without works is what? It is dead. It means nothing. It counts for nothing. So how do we balance this thing of our faith, our joy, what we believe in, and how do we transform that into what we do? I believe it. Now I want to do it. Where do we begin? We begin in God's Word. This verse says, first off, and right in the beginning, without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. I know that because I saw this morning, walking in the church, the evidence of God keeping his promise of healing, of faith. I believe that. First of all, where do I look? I look to God. I look to God. Rich said this morning, the distance between your knees and the floor, is it? The knees and the floor. I like that. I had a statement written down here, and it said, kneel before God before you stand in front of men. Kneel before an almighty God before you stand in front of men. All that means, and as well as you know, as well as I do, if you're living, if you have the things that go on in my life just as they go on in yours, you better start your day off with your faith renewed in God, believing the promise that He has made to us. And He is faithful to keep those promises. Everyone in this book, it applies to you and I alike. I begin with my faith in God. That's where I begin. Now, I have to deal with those things. I have to deal with issues. I have to deal with things that don't quite go as well as I would like for them to go. And I'll tell you, friends, we were so fortunate here on Wednesday. Matt, Kevin, Claude, and Nancy's had such issues. And the guys and Bill next door here were all practicing. And I stood back and I realized how fortunate I am to have the opportunity to sing with men of character. Now, they're talented. Brother Matt, he stands up here, and I messed up on the little he loves me with him. But I'll tell you, when he sings that, I'd rather have Jesus. That's a song sung from the heart. And I love someone who is willing to use their talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thanking God that He's given that young man those talents and that he can sing those high notes that I can. I like that. But I, more importantly, are excited about standing with men of character. Kevin was telling us about the shooting down in Alexandria. I had heard that the shooting had taken place. And I love the fact that when people are standing and singing in front of you, there's a young man who desires to be a chaplain. Amen. I also am thrilled when Kevin is singing, you have a Alexander Scherf who, wow, walks the walk as well as talks the talk. And we were talking about it as I picked him up at the metro, and I said, boy, I just heard this. He says, yeah. He says, he's been shot in the head. I didn't know that. He has five children. I didn't know that. I was so moved by what I heard on the news, and I followed that. And buddy, I appreciate so very much that prayer request this morning. I heard stories on the news this week. I heard that sad, sad story about down in Florida, a sinkhole, and a brother trying to go in and grab a brother. How frightening could that have been? I have no way. I have not in my life experienced anything like that. I don't know how I would handle that situation, how emotionally it would affect me. And as you watch the news, as you listen, as you see coming up on the internet, these stories that just tear at your heart. I hear prayer requests, and I know dear friends and sisters in Christ, and people have brought joy, and God has allowed things to happen that I don't understand. When that word cancer comes out, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. But I still am faithful in God that He will keep His promise. Because His promises are about my soul and my condition with Him. His promises are about where I stand with God. His promises are more and more and more and more, more important than any little change in the wind and direction. His promises are solid. They are solid. And I believe as you keep your faith in Him, you can handle anything because I will not be tempted. Nothing will come against me that I cannot overcome through Christ Jesus who lives within me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I believe that you just have to make up your mind to set the tone about what you're going to do. I am going to keep on believing. In just a moment, we're going to serve communion. I believe that communion, it sets the tone. It says, Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you did for me 2,000 years ago, sending your son to die upon a cross. But you know, I had something happen. I got to tell you this. And sometimes you scratch your head as well as I scratch my head. You get in situations, things that happen, you just can't understand it. About 2 weeks ago, I've been involved in a project in my house. I'm trying to finish tiling the basement. I've done a fine job. It's a job that has lasted a little longer than I thought it would. As with many of the projects around my house, they just keep adding up. And I said to myself, I'm going to finish this project. I'm going to finish this tile. And I went to Home Depot. And I took a basket in, and I got 6 boxes of tile. 15 in a box, they're quite heavy, for those of you that lifted them by myself. Just wanted you to know. Put them in this basket that's probably not rated for 6 boxes of tile, but I put it in there anyway and started pushing it up through the store I went. Along with that, I grabbed bag of grout. Got to have grout to finish it off. Put it in there, off I go. I check out and I head out through the parking lot. Since it's hard enough to push, I made a beeline towards my vehicle. I saw the speed bump in the middle of the roadway. And I know it would have been much wiser for me to go far around that. But that was too far to go. This basket's too hard to push. I made a bead line and came right up to the middle and got the front 2 wheels of that basket over the speed bump. And there I was. I am 56 years old. To my knowledge, I have never in my life ever been trapped in the middle of a roadway over top of a speed bump pushing a basket. But there I was. Not what I had planned for, but the situation that I was in. And inside, instead of being frustrated, I just said, this is the silliest thing I've probably ever done in my life. And a fella pulled up, rolled the window down. He said, that speed bump's there to slow you down. I guess it's doing its job. Now, I could have taken that statement and gotten very upset about it. What did I do? I started to laugh. He said, I'm pulling in. Hold on. He jumped out of his pickup. He ran over there. As I'm pushing the back, he's pulling on the front. There are 2 of us standing in the middle of the road with a basket over top of the speed bump. He helped me get over that. We went to the car. And we had one of the best laughs that I've had in a long time. You don't know what you're going to run into in life. You'll have speed bumps. You will have things that you'll get trapped in the middle of. But it is your attitude on how you view them that makes all the difference in the world. When I come to church, I come to praise God. When I come to church, I want to feel the joy of the Lord because it is my strength. I want to hear testimonies of people that have been touched by the hand of God. I want to hear people who are just saying, you know what? I'm in the middle of an old speed bump. I'm pushing on a basket, but I'll tell you one thing. God is going to see me through. God might send somebody around in a pickup to help me push this old basket over the speed bump. You probably think that story's pretty silly. And trust me, if you were there in my position, you know it was silly because I was there. But it also gives me a great appreciation for how that so many things in our life We can let those things simply overcome us. Or we can keep our faith in the promise of God, for He will keep His promise. And then we can decide to make it our goal of thinking of ways to encourage one another, to outburst of love. We didn't exchange cards. Don't even know the man's name. But I tell you one thing, I felt an outburst of love from God. And I believe that each and every one of us have felt that within our lives. What a thrill. What a thrill to be in God's house. What a thrill to live. To be able to come into church and worship truthfully in the spirit of a loving God. What a joy it is to serve communion. What an opportunity to allow this love that He gives us to flow through us to a world that just is simply so hungry. There is a world that is so hungry for just anything of warmth, of tenderness, of kindness. Folks, we're the lucky ones. Don't you believe that? We're the ones that are so fortunate, not perfect, simply forgiven. Let's share that. Heavenly Father, we have come into Your house. We have sung praises unto Your name. We have lifted up the name of Jesus in song. We have heard prayer requests, God. We have heard testimonies of healing, and we thank You for that. Heavenly Father, a lot less come out of this church without being affected by the things that we hear, by Your Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us, directing us. And it begins, God, by us taking time to begin by thanking You for what You did for us. That's what this wafer representing the body which is broken, bless it. That's what this small cup of juice representing the blood that was shed, bless it. This is what You called for us to do in remembrance of You. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen. Amen. This is an open communion. We ask that one thing, that You'll just wait until we're all served, and we'll break and eat together on the wafer.